Just as there is safety in numbers, it is wise to remain open to all groups of extraterrestrials. By interacting with all, you will come to know the differences between the positives and the negatives. You will not be able to judge by appearances alone, especially since the negatives are likely to manipulate their appearance to ingratiate you. Each of the extraterrestrial groups has a unique perspective and unique gifts to offer you. By staying open to all of them, you will come to understand them and keep your options open. Chapter 9 Appearances and Other Differences. What about appearances? The subject of appearances needs to be approached by considering not only what you can tell from appearances, but what you cannot tell from appearances, as appearances can be deceiving, especially when dealing with extraterrestrials. In addition, if you are to understand your extraterrestrial relatives, you will have to consider the ways you are different from them, besides your appearance. One of your first concerns will be learning to tell the Zetas from the Greys. You will recall that they resemble each other because they originated from the same race and evolved under similar circumstances. There are some differences, however. The most obvious one is that the Greys are generally shorter than their Zetas and lighter in color. The Greys are often whitish-gray, whereas the Zetas tend to be greenish-gray and therefore a bit darker. The differences are subtle but noticeable enough when the two are side by side. Another difference is in the eyes. The Zetas have a wateriness about their eyes, a softness and depth, like pools of deep water. They give comfort and assurance to humans through their eyes and telepathically, but the Greys do not. The Greys' eyes have a coldness and blackness to them, like the night. The Greys do not concern themselves with human emotions, which they prefer to ignore. The Zetas, on the other hand, although they are also uneasy with human emotions, try to make humans feel comfortable according to their ideas of this. They may not always respond appropriately, but they do try. Both the Greys and the Zetas are clinical and direct in their manner. But unlike the Zetas, the Greys have a total disregard for feelings. These are the only clues we can offer, but it shouldn't take you long to learn to distinguish one from the other. Seeing them side by side may not be a common experience, but even a few opportunities like this will be very educational. The Greys will avoid the Zetas whenever possible, however. Nevertheless, there will be times when the positives and negatives will be involved with you simultaneously. The negatives will work with the positives from time to time because they will need to gain your confidence. They will hope to get some of you alone later, to continue their interactions more privately to serve their own ends. The positives will allow the negatives to work with them and leave it up to you to determine your allegiances. As long as the negatives are part of a larger group, including positives, they cannot do much harm. But beware of them singling out people and working with them independently. They can spot people's weaknesses, and they will try to use anyone who can be corrupted. They will tempt people with power, or with whatever else someone has a weakness for, in exchange for something they want. Since like attracts like, you will be wise to have only the most impeccable people working on projects with the extraterrestrials. This is one way to safeguard yourselves. However, the negatives will still find ways to work independently with less scrupulous types. The positives, when they do have forms, have humanoid forms, not animal forms. Some of the negatives, on the other hand, like the reptilians or lizzies as they are sometimes called, resemble animals. So any extraterrestrial in animal form is a negative, but these negatives will rarely show themselves anyway. The negatives that will show themselves to you will be either the Greys, with whom many of you and your government are already familiar and who may pass as Zetas, the Orions, as men in black, who will continue their various missions even after the positives contact you, and the negative Syrians, who can take any form they wish. Because of their ability to shape-shift, the negative Syrians will be the ones to watch. They are likely to imitate Pleiadians and others with whom you will form bonds. The Pleiadians are very beautiful and may therefore easily win your confidence. But be careful not to be too trusting even of them because they are the ones the negatives are most likely to impersonate. You will find the positives as a whole very beautiful. Even though they may not be conventionally beautiful to you, They will evoke feelings of love within you, which are translated by you as beauty. The meaning of the expression love is blind will never be more obvious than when you meet your galactic comrades. Love is something the negatives cannot fake, although they try to, at least through words and mannerisms. Your own feelings of love will be your best guide in determining who is who among extraterrestrials. However, this rule of thumb will not work for everyone, since not everyone will be open enough to feel the positives love. They will not evoke love in everyone. Some of the humanoids you will meet, both positive and negative, will be tall and others very small. This will challenge your usual associations about large and small. You tend to think of large as better and stronger, and small as lesser and weaker. This is certainly not true in other realms, where size and shape have nothing to do with worth or ability. Size and shape are particularly inconsequential, given that many of the beings you will meet are not bound to their forms but can change form at will. Your idea of male and female roles will also be challenged. Genders do exist among many of the extraterrestrials, but others are either androgynous or without gender. You will find that there are many ways to procreate and that your gender roles and identities are specific to you. Each species has their own conception of gender, and the roles are set accordingly. You will realize in meeting other species how culture-bound you are. There is nothing wrong with this, it is perfectly natural. But exposure to other species will enlarge your concept of yourselves, just as exposure to other human cultures has. What you are about to learn about yourselves, as a result, will transform you over the next few decades. Never has a generation been exposed to so much that is new. This will try you, especially those who are less open-minded or open to change. However, exposure to alien races has a potential for growth equal only to the major leap in consciousness you will also be experiencing. Is there any question that these will be important times? You will have to get used to a vast array of not only physical differences, but emotional ones as well. Some extraterrestrials, as we have seen with the Zetas and Greys, have no emotions whatsoever. Others have different emotions altogether, while others have emotions like yours but more evolved. It will become apparent that emotions are only a small part of the makeup of a humanoid, a very small part for some. Humans are used to identifying with their emotions. When they feel sad, they say, "I am sad." You will discover in observing other species that your emotions are only a tool that helps you function in the world, a means by which you can know your physical, emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual needs. Emotions are useful, but they do not make the human. This insight will change your relationship to your own emotions and those of others. Some of you already know this. You will find that although some alien races have similar emotions, they express them differently. This can be confusing. For instance, when a loud voice expresses caring or a whisper expresses disagreement, these times will demand careful, thoughtful communication if you are to understand each other on a feeling level. What you do have on your side is that most communication will be done telepathically. This will eliminate many of the ordinary misunderstandings but not the confusion caused by differences in emotional makeup. Your intellectual differences will be no small matter, either. All the extraterrestrials you will encounter, both positive and negative, are far beyond you intellectually. Not only do they use a greater portion of their brains than you, but most have brains that are unlike yours. Those with similar brains, the Pleiadians for instance, will be much easier for you to relate to than others. Those with completely different brains will be alien indeed. Because of this, you will have little interaction with these types. They will perform certain duties behind the scenes and not be players in the drama unfolding on Earth. So there will be both extraterrestrials known to you and their helpers, who will remain unknown to you. These helpers are both physical and non-physical. Their intelligence puts the extraterrestrials at an advantage. They have studied your culture, some have even observed you for millennia. Many can speak your languages, and those who cannot could learn them in a matter of weeks. Communicating with you in language is hardly an issue. However, because their advanced intelligence allows for telepathy. They know how to stimulate certain centers in your brain, which enables you to receive their telepathic messages without your being telepathic. Therefore, they can communicate with you the same way they communicate with each other. Misunderstandings still occur in telepathic communication, however. Certain differences create variances in translation of the telepathic communication, causing misunderstandings, although they are infrequent and usually minor. Misunderstandings are more likely to arise from differences in intelligence than from problems with translation. Cultural differences, of course, will also cause some misunderstandings. So you can expect some problems. Because of their superior intelligence, all extraterrestrials are skillful at anticipating your responses to them and therefore capable of manipulating you. The positives manipulate you as a parent manipulates a child, to evoke a desired response. The difference between this kind of manipulation and that of the negatives is that the positives manipulate situations for your highest good, while the negatives' motives are always self-serving. This analogy of parent and child is fitting in many respects. The positives have greater reasoning powers, more foresight and wisdom, more skills, and higher emotional development than humans. This makes them well suited to act as parents. Moreover, their advanced spiritual development gives them access to guidance from spirit about your spiritual plan. Without this, their intelligence and wisdom might be misdirected. This connection to spirit is lacking in the negatives and is what makes them so dangerous. It makes them dangerous to themselves too because they make choices out of alignment with the Creator. To align with the Creator would mean accepting the Creator's help, which would go against their tenet of self-reliance. As difficult as it may be for you to imagine what it means to be millions or billions of years more advanced intellectually and emotionally, it is even more difficult for you to imagine what this means spiritually. You understand that spiritual development leads to becoming more like God, more loving, compassionate, and accepting. And you will feel this love, compassion, and acceptance from the positives. However, you still will not understand what they are experiencing, what it is like to be them. You will project your ideas about this onto them, but you will never grasp their experience. We are telling you this because we want to put this in perspective for you. They are not like you. They are not human, and even if they were, their millions or billions of years of development would still make them unrecognizable to you. So please be careful about assuming that they are like you. They know what you are like, and they will accommodate you and speak to you in your terms. But this will be for purposes of communication, not because this is how they are. They are so advanced that they can understand you and interact with you, an entirely alien race, on your terms. They have done this countless times before, in other worlds, and they will do this countless more times. They are carrying out their work here as you carry out your daily business. But their business is unimaginably more complex. This is not intended to elicit your awe or reverence, but to remind you that your understanding of them will be based on your projections, which are a product of your current state of consciousness. The positives don't expect anything more from you. They understand how you will see them and how you will feel. They know you better than you know yourselves. They know you like a parent knows a child. And they love you like one. The negatives, on the other hand, see you as a lower life form that is useful, sometimes bothersome, and dispensable. They have treated many of you like animals in a laboratory experiment because you are little more than that to them. The only difference is that you have free will, but they just see that as something to conquer. It challenges them only slightly. The negatives don't care if you survive as a race. They would prefer you didn't, if it means having Earth. They are open to sharing Earth with you only if they can completely dominate you. That they have succeeded in other worlds belies how vulnerable some races are to manipulation. They expect you to be equally vulnerable, but you are not that naive. The negatives are intelligent, but their lack of empathy limits their intelligence. They don't know how to interact with you because they can't put themselves in your shoes. Therefore, sometimes they act in ways that appear stupid. As a result, you may underestimate their intelligence. But it is not a lack of intelligence that trips them up, but a lack of empathy. They have other character flaws, which will cause them to make mistakes with you. They lose track of the whole picture because of their egocentricity, and they have trouble delaying gratification. They also don't know how to work with others or win their loyalty or confidence. Because the negatives are so unskilled at human relations, the positives are not concerned that most people will be fooled by them. Some people will be, but they are likely to be those who are also out for themselves. The negatives will play intellectual games with you, like giving you bogus information. You will think you have been given something very valuable, but it will be meaningless. This has already happened several times to individuals working for your government. This is one of the negatives' favorite tricks. They will also pretend to be doing things that are important but aren't. They will go through the motions while you watch, thinking you are observing something important, something you assume will help you solve some problem. The negatives won't just play with your minds. They will play with your hopes and dreams. They know every dream you have. If you dream of being a famous writer, they will promise to give you something to achieve that. If you dream of winning the Nobel Prize, they will promise a breakthrough formula. What makes this so tricky is that positives will also be working with writers, scientists, educators, politicians, and the like. So it will be up to you to determine what is valuable and what is not from the extraterrestrials you encounter. Many people will be sent on wild goose chases, while others will receive useful information. You only need to be pure of heart to be a vehicle for the positives. Those who are greedy or power-hungry will be the ones targeted by the negatives. One of the problems with the disparity in intelligence between you and the extraterrestrials is that you will not be able to fully understand why they are doing what they are doing. We have tried to explain what they will be doing in terms you can understand, given your current paradigm. However, this cannot be fully grasped by you at your current level of consciousness. This is not to belittle you but to caution you not to assume that you understand the extraterrestrials or what they are doing. And because you cannot fully comprehend them, you will have to trust them, or rather learn who to trust. As a result of your contact with extraterrestrials, you will make a leap in your own intelligence. The positives will show you how to access a larger portion of your brains and teach you things that will stretch your mental capacity. Your intelligence will also be improved because of the influx of star people and their progeny. The children of star people will inherit an increased intelligence. Some will even be geniuses by your standards, whether or not they are star people themselves. If star people can influence others by their energy alone, how much more can they influence their children? Thus, the children of star people will be blessed by greater insight, intelligence, and other talents than normal children. This will eventually affect the intelligence of your entire population. Star people will be working as bridges between the positives and you to help you integrate the information they give you. Highly intelligent people are needed for this and have incarnated for this purpose. As a result, there are more geniuses on Earth now than ever before, many of them working in the fields of science and mathematics. You will need them to help you learn to traverse the vast reaches of space, among other things. You have much to learn before you can travel beyond the speed of light. The positives will not transport you through space regularly. You will not be able to rely on them for this. Rather, they will help you develop your own space technology. Although you will want to travel in your physical state on their ships, this will not be allowed immediately, except for a few individuals and then only on very short trips. Your physiology cannot withstand interdimensional space travel yet. Many of you have traveled great distances with extraterrestrials in your astral body during sleep, however. These trips will continue because it is one way you are being introduced to the universe and its occupants. Many of you are also serving others during these excursions. You will be shown much of the technology on their ships, but it will take you years before you begin to understand what you have seen. Genetics is another area in which you will receive extensive help from the positives. Many of your illnesses can be solved by learning to alter genetic information. This is a simple procedure to them, which they will teach you. They may do this in exchange for certain agreements from you. They are most concerned about your living peaceably with each other and eliminating your nuclear weapons. They can make a strong case for dismantling your nuclear weapons, since they can help you achieve whatever you might otherwise achieve through wars and threats. If you are fighting over food or water, for example, they can show you how to produce more food or purify your water. But their condition for helping you will be that you learn to get along. If the negotiating chip is peace, then you can be sure you are dealing with the positives. The negatives want to see the opposite and will try to inflame your hatreds and disagreements. They may pretend to be giving you a solution to a disease, while actually creating a new one. They, too, will be very interested in genetics experiments. However, you will be the victims, not the beneficiaries. Genetics will be an area you will have to watch closely. The positives are their agenda is the environment. They will help you create clean energy sources, dispose of toxic waste, manufacture biodegradable materials, improve your agricultural practices, and purify your air and water. They may ask for certain concessions before helping you with these things, particularly peace. The negatives also may offer you help with the environment, but they will not offer real solutions and they will make demands other than that you live peacefully. They will probably want laboratory space or permission to perform genetic experiments or something else that will serve them, not you. Pay attention to motives. The positives will not be looking for anything for themselves. What they do ask you for will be for the good of the whole. Even their zitters can carry out their genetics projects without any major concessions from you. They already have star people and others willingly helping them with their experiments. Of all the differences between you and the extraterrestrials, the physical ones are bound to be the hardest to adjust to prepare you for a face-to-face encounter with the many strange-looking extraterrestrials you are to meet. You will be given an audio-visual recording of each of the extraterrestrial groups involved with Earth. An ambassador of each group will address you on behalf of the others and explain the background, purpose, and role of the particular group in regard to Earth. Eventually, many of them will be walking on your Earth and interacting with you daily. To prepare you for this eventuality, you will meet them first on video. The first phase of this introduction is already being accomplished through movies and television programs like Star Trek, The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, depicting alien beings and human beings working together, not just as adversaries. These shows are no accident. You will be introduced to a wide variety of beings, so wide that you will become quite used to strange-looking beings. Your eyes will become accustomed to this diversity and you will no longer even think in terms of strangeness. The attitude to cultivate during this transition is one of open curiosity, innocence, and a determination to look beyond appearances. Certainly how you see each other and how you evaluate beauty will also be affected. Eventually, you will drop your categories of beautiful and ugly. This may be inconceivable to you now, but it will happen. First, your concept of physical beauty will change, then it will disappear. The idea of judging someone by appearances will become ludicrous and unimaginable, but that will be a few centuries from now. Until then, you will struggle with your old ideas of beauty until you finally give them up. Your encounter with extraterrestrials will require you to give up many of your ideas, and it will bring many new ones into your awareness. It will be impossible to live by the old ideas, which will be antiquated. You will eventually find your way through this morass of change to a new world of greater love and acceptance. These are exciting times ahead, full of wonder and change. Chapter 10 Living in an Integrated World. The world of the future will be integrated in two ways. The polarities will be integrated and so will the races, including a variety of extraterrestrial races. Let's look first at what it would mean to live in a world where the polarities are integrated. You already know what this will be like somewhat because some of you have already integrated the polarities within yourselves. That is where global integration begins, within. Integration on an emotional level means accepting your dark side, your shadow. It means accepting all of your negative emotions, understanding where they come from and what they mean, while not acting them out in ways that are harmful to yourselves and others. Although all negativity will not be erased entirely from your planet, or any planet operating through polarities, the negative pole need not be as prominent as it is today. An integrated society will have less negativity than what exists on Earth today. Through the cycle of violence, that is, violence breeding more violence, negativity is not only perpetuated but multiplied. This is how the negative pole comes to dominate, as in service to self-planets. But a cycle of love also is possible. Love begets more love. The cycle of love does not eliminate, nor deny the negative pole any more than the cycle of violence eliminates the positive pole. In an integrated society, the negative pole is balanced against the positive pole and exists as a foil and a learning device. That is the appropriate role for negativity. Likewise, even on a service to self, a planet, the positive pole remains as a reminder and a call to another kind of action. Thus, both poles remind the other of other possibilities. The presence of these two possibilities gives you a choice of lifestyle, the cycle of violence or that of love. The cycle of violence is painful, unless you are the oppressor. And even so, the tables are bound to be turned sometime. The cycle of love is always joyful. Why would anyone choose the painful path then? The only ones who willingly choose this are self-servers, because they believe happiness lies in controlling others. However, they are no more happy on this path than their victims, except perhaps fleetingly. The happiness they experience is an illusion, because it does not come from alignment with the Creator. Self-servers believe they have achieved happiness because they have nothing else to compare it to. They don't know the joy of love. Furthermore, they will never learn this on their own. The servers will teach them this through the process of integration. Through this process, self-servers learn the role that evil and negativity play for all creation. They learn that it is part of creation, not the whole of it, and they eventually choose to serve. Nevertheless, there will always be others, usually unevolved souls, who will play the part of negativity for a while. So the only difference between an integrated or integrating society and a service to self society is the degree of negativity that exists and the power it has. Once you have integrated your shadow self, others who have not will be reminders of this side of yourself. Therefore, you will be forced to continue to acknowledge and accept it. In an integrated society, self-servers act as reminders to integrate. However, in your world, which is trying to integrate, you have too often denied your shadow side or, worse still, expressed it through war and other collective acts of hatred. An integrated society will also have the feminine and masculine qualities integrated. Both the masculine and feminine will be revered and balanced within the individual and within society. This will lead to compassionate, feminine action, masculine, and intuitively guided, feminine, reason, masculine. Today your world is learning to value the feminine. Tomorrow's world will use the best qualities of both the masculine and the feminine to build a balanced society. As you balance these polarities within you, they will become balanced within your societies. An integrated society will be balanced in all respects. For instance, work will be balanced with rest or recreation, and time with family will be balanced with time with community. Moreover, time will be allotted for everything that is required for balance and health, fun, creativity, work, family, friends, community, rest, eating, intellectual stimulation, physical activity, and spirituality. It is even possible to lead a balanced life today. You already recognize the need for these things and their need to be balanced. You just have to learn to balance them within yourselves and create a society that honors this. It is easy to blame society for your imbalances. But society can only be changed by the individuals who make it up, often by joining together, but nevertheless by individuals. This is why a shift in consciousness is so important to integration. Only as a result of a shift in consciousness will you demand a more balanced lifestyle. When you, yourselves, change inside, society will change. What will change you? Besides the influx of higher energy that you are receiving, pain will. Pain will cause you to question your current lifestyle and look for new ways to organize your lives and rebuild your societies. So pain serves you in your transition to an integrated world. An integrated world will not bar people from fulfilling their potential. It will not resurrect barriers between people, either.